There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk 106.5, and it's Midday Mobile, hour number two. I was shelving that story. I was trying to preserve that story, put it back, keep it for a little bit later, but no, Westwood One News could not handle themselves, so they tried to out the story. But I tell you what, we have more details about the story, and I think that's what's important here, because this is a headline that'll be heard around the country. Attack squirrel seized in North Alabama meth bust. Okay? Yes, you heard me correctly. Attack squirrel seized in North Alabama meth bust. Limestone County, so up there in northwestern Alabama. Limestone County narcotics investigators arrested one man and are looking for another after they executed a search warrant on Monday that yielded meth, drug paraphernalia, body armor, and a squirrel. Mickey Polk, 35, is still wanted by investigators for possession of a controlled substance, certain persons forbidden to possess a firearm, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Anyone with information about his whereabouts is asked to call the Limestone County Sheriff's Office, and they get the number there. Ronnie Reynolds, 37, of Ardmore, is charged with possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, loitering at a known drug house. He was released from Limestone County Jail on a $4,000 bond. Prior to the search warrant, here you go, folks. Here are the details. Prior to the search warrant, investigators were informed that Mickey Polk kept an attack squirrel inside his apartment and that Polk fed the squirrel meth to keep it aggressive. This is scary. Investigation provided probable cause to obtain a search warrant. Then they go through 8:30 Monday morning. Investigators and deputies executed the search warrant at Polk's apartment in the 2100 block of Piney Chapel Road. Reynolds was inside the apartment, but Polk wasn't home. Investigators found meth, drug paraphernalia, body armor, ammunition, and the squirrel in the residence. The squirrel was inside a cage. An animal control deputy arrived and contacted Alabama Game and Fish Division of the Department of Conservation. Dalton, remind me, we go to commercial break. I got to call Chuck Sykes or one of those people up there, see if they have this squirrel in custody. Game and Fish confirmed it is illegal to have a pet squirrel, and they recommended releasing the squirrel, which the deputies did successfully. They don't have the squirrel. The squirrel that has a meth, I would imagine, addiction and is aggressive has been released into the wild. They go on here. The last sentence in the story from WAFF-TV says, there was no safe way to test the squirrel for meth. Probably because it's pretty aggressive. So squirrel, attack squirrel, they keep him ornery by feeding him meth. Now, as a critter goes that strikes me as having lots of energy, squirrel falls in there, right? And they give said squirrel methamphetamines. This is the first time I've ever even conceptualized having an attack squirrel that was fed meth. But you live and you learn. All right. Also, looking through the text line here, more suggestions here on the because this is going off that interview that Democrat candidate for president Pete Buttigieg. Said he believes statistically, because they were asking him, because he's gay, right? They're like, oh, do you believe there's a gay president before? And he said, well, statistically, I think there's got to be, there has to have been a gay president or presidents, right? So he's talking about this. So I said, well, he didn't name them, but we're trying to figure out, you know, who they may have been. And y'all have suggested a lot of different people. I think this one here, Tony says Roosevelt. Well, Teddy or FDR? Who? Which Roosevelt are you talking about? Teddy? Dalton, you mentioned that earlier. Dalton, and Dalton's found a story here where this has been investigated. Not the Roosevelt thing, but the there's been an investigation. There's been scholarly research into the sexuality of former presidents of the United States. And because people care about this stuff, they penned this. What was this, a Newsweek? Where was this?
Yeah, this was similar to Newsweek, Outward Magazine.
Oh, but different.
A lot like Outdoors Magazine.
Yeah, but different.
Outward Magazine.
Outward Magazine,
right,
okay.
Like the word is out.
Okay, the word is out.
Yeah, I Googled most likely gay presidents. You'll be surprised what comes up when you Google that. And one of the suggestions, James Buchanan, it's looking like, you know, we've had a lot of people put out names, but not a whole lot of facts backing them up, just a lot of guesses. And there's been a historian who actually looked into this, I believe a gay historian, if I had to guess, and has decided that James Buchanan was most decidedly the first gay president, or at least a gay president. He's the author of, they write here, the acclaimed book, which I think they just put acclaimed in front of anything at this point, because I've never heard of Lies Across America, the book. But this guy is the author of Lies Across America. He says, I'm sure that James Buchanan was gay. There's clear evidence. The author's name, James W. Lowen, a historian. According to him, Buchanan shared a residence with William Rufus King, a Democratic senator from Alabama.
Okay.
For several years while they were in Washington, they shared a residence. He says that contemporary records indicate the two men were inseparable and would be referred to as the Siamese twins. The historian also said Buchanan was, quote, fairly open about his relationship with King, causing some colleagues to view them as a couple. For example, Aaron Brown, a prominent Democrat, writing to Mrs. James K. Polk, referred to King as Buchanan's, quote, better half.
Okay.
His wife and...
Okay.
Aunt Fancy, rigged out in her best clothes.
Aunt Fancy.
That's right. He referred to William Rufus King, the senator from Alabama, as Aunt Fancy. In 1844, when King was appointed minister to France, the senator we're talking about here, King, he wrote to Buchanan, I am selfish enough to hope you will not be able to procure an associate who will cause you to feel no regret at our separation. Lowen also said, a letter Buchanan wrote to a friend after King went to France shows the depth of his feeling for King. So some stats backing it up here. Not a discussion I thought that, not an article I thought I'd read today, but looks like James Buchanan, the facts are pointing to him being
the gay 15th, president. 15th president of the United States. They're saying possibly the first gay president.
Yeah, so Buttigieg, I guess that might have been the guy he was talking about.
But if he's gonna say that it's a certain percentage, you know, is it more? I mean, the Buchanan thing is easy because never buried. But you've got other people on this list that you even went to Dale Jackson going for Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know.
And they, of course, presidents have all kinds of history. If you're a president, you're going to have a childhood home, people visit, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's a Buchanan estate in Wheatland, which is his mansion in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Lancaster.
Yeah. Thank you. As a guy from Pennsylvania, I should know how to pronounce that.
Yeah.
And but the estate seems pretty sure that he was not gay. They're wanting to keep up the appearance that Buchanan was definitely not gay.
How do they know?
Well, they pointed to a portrait of this woman named Ann Coleman, who was the daughter of a wealthy iron maker, and Buchanan was apparently engaged to this woman, Ann Coleman, back in 1819, briefly before she actually killed herself. So he was engaged for a time.
Wait a second. That makes it even more believable.
I know, exactly. And that's what this historian's pointing to. So all of his facts back up that Buchanan was the first gay president.
There you go. Hard-hitting news. That's what we do around here.
That's right.
All right. We're trying to get this train back on the rails here. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, joins us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, even people calling in during the news breaks to say it's Taft. You know, cut Taft some slack. I was just telling my buddy Todd Stacey, growing up in my house, for some reason, the majority of presidential jokes and punchlines in my house were Taft and Rutherford B. Hayes. As two of my mom's favorite, for whatever president, the punchline would be Taft or Rutherford B. Hayes. And the second I grow a beard, I immediately get the Rutherford B. Hayes. That's where, it's kind of nerdy family I grew up in. Oh, well, she'd probably call this man like Rutherford B. Hayes as well. It's Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going, man?
That's good. I was just trying to... You were on board with what Dalton had, the story that most scholars of this stuff, and I don't know if you get a degree in this or not, gay presidents, believe it's Buchanan, right? I didn't even know that. It's something that has just not occupied my time, but it seems like there's a wealth of stories on the web about this.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be kind of the rumor. I don't know how these things get started or whatever.
It's like,
but
who cares is my big thing.
Yeah, I guess kind of what who cares? I guess, you know, and I don't know much about, I didn't watch the Buttigieg thing or Buttigieg, however you say it.
You're like me. You start getting confused. I studied how to say it 10 times, and then as soon as I get away from it, I go, I forgot how to say it.
Well, but I'm sure that he would like to be talking about anything else except who may have been, you know, a previous gay president. You know, like...
like policy?
It's like, oh, yeah, it's like some kind of name joke. You're like, oh, yeah, I've never heard that one before.
Right.
You know, I'm sure he probably gets tired of talking about it, but whatever.
Yeah. That's where we go. Even Axios doing that. But you're not doing that at Alabama Daily News. You're buckling down. And first of all, let's talk about the top of the stack. People get their email in their inbox, and you have the slug line here. Looks like Secretary of State John Merrill is officially running for Senate. He had made that announcement this morning with our buddy Dale Jackson. I had him on starting the noon hour, and I mean, he danced around a little bit, but in so many words, it's something major for him not to announce later this month that he said the people are just sending him money unsolicited, Todd. I mean, he can't help it.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like. He had to he went ahead and filed paperwork with the FEC, and that means you're running. Maybe you haven't announced, maybe you haven't, you know, held the press conference, had the, you know, marching band, dancing bears, and all these things. But once you file, you basically have to. I mean, you're basically running. So yeah, he's in. It's funny how Dale got it out of him. You know, and maybe, yeah, well, yeah, maybe ruined his surprise a little bit. But that, I mean, it's not a surprise to anybody. I think actually the only reason he's been waiting is to make sure that money could line up. Give yourself every bit of, you know, excuse to back out, room to back out. But I don't think he's there. I mean, we were told an announcement was going to happen on the 25th. That's a week away, and I still expect him to have an announcement next week.
Well, and we're also told, in fairness, this is stuff that's, I mean, you and I know, but people that don't do this for a living, he also said he was going to announce by Memorial Day, and he didn't.
Right. Yeah, when I talked to him about that, he was assuming that the legislative session was going to go a lot longer than right. It did. And so, and because it you know, ended right away, that kind of changed his math a little bit. But in any case, I mean, he's all but in. It looks like the field is finally taking shape. I don't expect it. Ton more candidates to get in, but all eyes on Roy Moore.
Yeah, and that's a question. When you get into this, different lanes, and you and I have talked about the different lanes in the Republican primary, who's in what lane? Does somebody announcing in that lane keep somebody else? They go, well, there's not going to be money for me from this group or that group. I mean, that's a real thing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the race starts in terms of lining up groups, things like that. I don't expect a lot of heavy hitting interest groups to make solid choices here. You've got a couple. Senate Conservatives Fund, they're going to be behind Arnold Mooney. This is the group that is the far right. You know, they choose the most conservative candidate. They've kind of got a track record on that. In the past, they've kind of made some goofs, but they've got a better track record as of late. How much money that'll mean or how much help that'll mean, it remains to be seen. But they could put a, you know, couple hundred thousand dollars behind their own ads supporting Arnold Mooney. And then you've got the Club for Growth. Same kind of thing. They're sort of hit and miss. Everybody's been wondering where they're going to come down. I would expect either like a Tuberville or a Mooney. I wouldn't expect them to be for Merrill or Bradley Byrne. But so those are the two groups I'm really watching. Everybody else, I really doubt you're going to see too many groups endorse and get involved in what is a pretty unpredictable primary.
Well, okay. So, and by the way, on the Mooney thing, I would just go back to an interview I had with Mooney. I think there's, maybe people aren't bothered by this, but there's a trap, I believe, that's out there. And when he was talking to me, he went on and on, went down the punch list, you know, that everybody does. Who's, I'm more Trumpy than the next, right? I love President Trump more. And he was listing how much he loved President Trump, but then talked about what a constitutional conservative and talked about some names. I think somebody probably plugged him into the fact they probably said, hey, Sullivan's a Rand Paul fan, throw Rand Paul in there. And so he goes through that, and I asked him, which I am. It doesn't mean I agree with him every time, but I like the fact that he sticks to one set of, and I asked Mooney, I said, you know, Rand Paul is a burr in the saddle for President Trump sometimes. Quite often he's a great ally, but he doesn't change. I mean, President Trump is not an old-line conservative. He's a populist. I mean, that's just what it is. He's a populist. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be the most conservative candidate out there and you're going to be a constitutional conservative, I don't know how you can line up 100% of the time with President Trump. I'm going to be challenging that if people say that on the campaign trail.
Well, that's interesting. What did he say?
Well, he said, I'll stand with him and I'll make the president's going to make conservative decisions and I will support those. Or so I'm paraphrasing. In other words, he danced. He danced.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, just speaking as a voter and as a, you know, media personality, it would be refreshing to hear any candidate talk about ways they disagree with the president or just to say, well, yeah, I'm going to chart my own course. Like, I hope that we agree all the time, but it's not, you know, my course is my course, and just be honest about it.
It doesn't mean you don't support him. It doesn't mean you don't support the general thing, but if you can't have any part of your personality that ever disagrees, I mean, that's really...
I mean, same thing with guys like Mike Lee out in Utah and Ted Cruz, and, you know, just there are plenty of... And look, maybe it's not fair because those guys have pretty solid voter bases. They're not going anywhere for a while, so maybe it's a little easier for them. Certainly Rand Paul's that way, but I too am annoyed a little bit at this infallibility thing, you know, because you saw it with Democrats for years with Obama, and it was so annoying.
Yep.
With, you know, they wanted to make him king, and it was just, he's infallible, and we just, you know, we're going to do whatever he says. And so As annoyed as Republicans were at that for years, here we are doing the same thing. And I get why it's important to support, you know, your president, and you want to advance the policies that he's doing. But there are limits to everything. Surely there are ways you disagree, and it would be refreshing to hear him talk. You know, at least admit that in some way, and get out of this rote, you know, Trump must prevail, you know, dear leader kind of talk all the time.
Yep. Let's do this. When we come back, I do want to talk about, of course, President Trump with his reelection campaign. What did he say? A rock concert tonight? Big party going on in Orlando. We'll talk about that and also visit more in the Senate 2020 ever-increasing field with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And we come back, we'll tell you how to get that great email in your inbox each weekday morning.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Talking with my buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Tell you what, if you already were getting the email in your inbox, in amongst all the other stories in there about national politics and state politics, you would also get my favorite story of the day about a Texas Longhorn in Alabama that has broken the Guinness World Record for the longest horn. What a story here. This thing is wild-looking, man.
Yeah, I mean, I almost couldn't believe it. And, you know, Guinness Book of World Records, I remember from a kid, it was almost, they looked almost fake, you know, the world's tallest man and yes. stuff like this. I remember the guy with the fingernails. Yeah,
I do gross. Too, man. That's what I was going to say. That stuck with me, the longest fingernail dude.
But here's this, you know, Texas Longhorn. It's a specific kind of cattle, you know, and the horns are wider than the Statue of Liberty's face. You know, that's kind of crazy to think about. But it's here in Alabama, and so it has set the world record. I saw it on the wire the day. I had to include it. And they've got a fun video that the Guinness Book of World Records put together. It's up in Goodwater, Alabama. They, just south of Birmingham, and they call him Pancho Villa. But you really got to see it. I mean, it's fascinating, and I don't know how this longhorn really gets around, but, I'll just say this, and I hate to be this way, but those horns are going to look really good on a Cadillac one day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to, although the problem is the width of them, I don't think you couldn't do it because I think that's over, they're 10 feet 7 inches, right?
That's over. It probably have to be some kind of floor model.
Wide load. You'll have to have a blocker vehicle riding with wide load in front of you, clearing the road, so you don't scrape down the side of other cars. All right. If somebody wanted to have this story and a whole lot more in their inbox, how do they sign up for your email?
Oh, yeah. It's really easy. It's just aldailynews.com. That's the website. And right at the top, you'll see a button saying subscribe. Just click subscribe, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. It's free. No cost at all. I don't bombard you with spam or ads or anything like that. It's just you'll be on the list to get my daily news every morning in the 8 o'clock hour, and including sometimes crazy stories about longhorns and meth squirrels.
That's right. So the two kind of pivotal Alabama animal stories today. We got squirrels and longhorns. And then just to wrap up real quickly on our conversation from earlier, John Merrill, I mean, he's in. So he's in the mix. Of course, we got Bradley Byrne. We've got Tommy Tuberville. We've got Moody. We've got the question about Roy Moore getting in. Anybody else you think is a strong maybe?
Well, the only other, besides Moore, and I really do think that is a pretty solid set field after Moore gets in. The one other wild card I'd say is Lee Busby. This is the guy who ran as an independent in the general election, right? He basically ran a write-in campaign at the very end against both Roy Moore and Doug Jones. I had lunch with him several months ago, and he sounded pretty serious about, you know, really tiptoeing in the water and seeing if there was a chance. I mean, I really don't know if there would be much support for his campaign, but I think from the last time he got so much encouragement that sometimes that translates into thinking you can do it again. But that's really it. There have been a ton of people that have thought about it, and sure, somebody might want to get in. But I really do think once Roy Moore's in, you're starting to see a field kind of settle, and that's, to me, is a good thing because we need to start figuring out who's gonna take this election.
And what about on the other side? Any word, has John Rogers raised the money to run against Doug Jones?
I really don't see that happening. I know there was a bunch of talk about it, and John Rogers is the biggest clown sometimes, just when it comes to making people laugh. Now, I do think he was truly offended about the whole situation, that, you know, Doug Jones kind of treating him bad. They're old friends. I think he was genuine in his criticism and all that kind of stuff. I just, at the end of the day, I don't think there's any way he actually goes and does it. I just don't. Maybe they'll convince him just to kind of be quiet and bow out, and, you know, Sometimes people can be very convincing of things like that, if you catch my drift.
Absolutely. I wish somebody would convince me one day in a good way. All right. Tonight. So tonight it's the launching of the reelection campaign for President Trump, although we can make the argument that the campaigning's never stopped, and that's not even an indictment of anybody. The last 30 years in presidential politics, if you're not doing your inaugural speech, you're probably running for the next job.
Oh yeah, day one. I mean, you are trying to position yourself for reelection, and eventually, yeah, campaigning. It's interesting to me. You know, here we go. How long have we relitigated and just poured over the 2016 election? And it almost never ended, right? Because it was so traumatic for the Democrats who couldn't believe Hillary Clinton didn't win. Then so many wanted to relitigate it through the Russia stuff and just, so much. And here we are. It's time to run for president again. Here comes 2020. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say, how they kind of make the case. At the same time, I look for two kind of different messages. There's one that you're going to try to play to your base, right? The Republicans his only chance for victory is to get a massive turnout from Republicans and just conservatives and just, that type of voter.
Like he did in 2016.
Voter.
Yeah, like he has right. to have, yeah, he's, people turn out.
He's got to turn them out. And so that's one thing, and how to motivate them. I think a lot of this immigration stuff is part of it, and it's not an accident that's happening. But at the same time, he needs to do a lot better with independents. Needs to do a lot better with not necessarily Republican or conservative, but independent voters in the Midwest. That's really how he won in 2016, in places like Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Ohio. Those, that Rust Belt really secured the victory for him, and it was from independent voters, and he needs to do a lot better with those. And so what kind of arguments they choose to target toward that crowd, I think is going to be fascinating. I don't think you're going to hear that tonight, because I think it's a lot of yay, rah, this is our home, this is our base. But going forward, he's going to have to do something to win back the independence that he had in 2016.
Can't I argue that I don't think there's as many in play as others think. I mean, look at the economy. I mean, if you have an independent voter, quite often an independent voter is driven more by economy than philosophical issues, right? They're more fiscally based, or more jobs and money than they are by whether they are, the abortion issue or gun rights or any of those things. Independents quite often are making decisions who's going to help their paycheck, who's going to help their standard of living.
Absolutely. No question about it. And the problem with that, with the president, especially in the Midwest, is that he made a lot of promises saying that those auto plants and other kind of manufacturing plants were going to come back. And a few have landed here, and there have been a few announcements, but the jobs haven't come back. And that was a kind of a risky promise to make. So,
they just increase so much elsewhere? I mean, because you're looking, if you look the entirety of the country, I mean, look at the situation. You got to hide not to get a job.
Oh, the economy's on fire. There's no question about it. I would just argue that in the Midwest, the manufacturing sector, it's not necessarily the case. And right. he's struggling in those very places that he won, like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania especially, and Michigan. But, yes, the economy is going, just really, the economy couldn't be a lot better. They say it's maybe historically the best it's ever been. That's great, but how that matters to you and your own pocketbook, is where it really matters. And any other president with this kind of economy would be, coasting toward reelection. But this is a very controversial president. He's confrontational. He takes on maybe more than he should in terms of starting fights, and so. It's certainly not a sure thing, but the economy ought to put the wind at his back.
Absolutely. Just joining us, talking to Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And I look at the challengers, and, you know, people talk about, oh, the leaked polling, and I could defend that either way. I could tell you that it's not worth anything, or it's also maybe a message to the Trump campaign where they need to do better. At the same time, you look at this against Biden. I would say that there's a lot of knives out here for Biden. For other, like, you'd almost see a cartel of other Democrats work to make sure it's not Biden.
Oh, they've been out to get Biden before he ever got in the race.
Yep.
And there's a reason for that. I mean, he is the front runner. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Biden campaign, it's kind of funny. They're urging writers and, you know, media types to stop using the term front runner when it comes to him, because they don't want to, you know, kind of be in that position where all you can go, the only place you can go is down. But sure, he's the front runner. Any poll will show you that. But my advice to everybody is to get beyond the national polls. That's what we got so lost in 2016 and failed to see the shifts where it mattered. Look at the state polls. And when it comes to the Democrats, you've got to look at the early polls in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, but now you've got to look at California, because it's going to be an early state now. Mm-hmm. It votes the same day we do on March 3rd. And some Democrats are starting to make gains, specifically Elizabeth Warren. I mean, I almost can't believe it, because I thought she was just dead. But yeah, here she's kind of, you know, keeps making a case. But of course they're coming after Biden. And what's funny to me also is that, you know, he kind of contorts himself to rebrand himself as this woke liberal, when I mean, he's a Midwestern, or, you know,
Northeastern,
Pennsylvania, Delaware, small town, that, you know, that's been his brand for decades, and suddenly he's Mr. Woke Liberal. You know, give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, when I see Joe Biden, I expect him to be a stand-in in the Billy Joel Allentown video. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's his shtick. And so for him to try to come out like he's fresh out of a drum circle in Berkeley, who's going to buy that?
Yeah, and see, I mean, it's the same thing every time, because you have to go, if you're a Democrat, you've got to go to the left in the primary to try to win over these voters, but then you've got to come right back. Let me give you one example of something that might bite him, and that's the Hyde Amendment. I think we've talked about this a little bit.
Walk people through
this.
That
is that the Hyde Amendment is appropriations language they put in federal law every year, all the bills, that keeps prohibits the federal government from spending taxpayer money on abortions. It's a kind of a hard and fast thing. It keeps the appropriations process going, because without it, it would really break down. But it's something the Republicans and Democrats have
Uh-oh. We lose them. I heard it distinct. Was that a light? Is Todd Stacey still okay? Let's see if we get him back. I don't know. I mean, just on the precipice here, talking about the Hyde Amendment, to see if he gets... Tell you what, we'll run the break. Okay, we'll run the break and see if we can get him back on. Give him a second here. There he is.
Sorry.
You're back.
Sorry about that.
You're back. We missed you.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry about that.
You had good stuff going. So what? So go back.
Well,
hit rewind.
So Hyde Amendment, this is federal appropriations language that keeps the government from paying for abortions, right? It's really important. But now liberals are saying, no, we don't want this amendment. We think the government should be paying for these abortions. In fact, for Medicaid and things like that, low-income folks should be able to get government-funded, taxpayer-funded abortions, which... very little of the population agrees with. You're talking like 10-15%. But it's got to be this position, right? They've gone so far left on abortion. Well, Joe Biden, who has always supported the Hyde Amendment, always supported this basic restriction on funds, now says, yeah, that's right, I was wrong. We need to do away with the Hyde Amendment and allow taxpayer funding for abortions. Well, Sean, you know, that may sound good to the woke liberal base right now, but it in the general election, with like we talked about those folks in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
that's going to sound terrible. This stuff polls terribly. I mean, when you get down to it, really, you're going to spend my taxpayer money, you know, using Medicaid to fund abortions? That is objectionable by a large swath of the population, Republican and Democrat. And so it's useful now, but it could come back to bite him in the general.
There you go. Great insight, the kind you get when you read his work. And also remind folks, a podcast as well. Talk about your podcast.
Yeah, we do a podcast about every week. It's called In the Weeds with Alabama Daily News. And the idea behind that is, you know, some people say, well, we want to avoid getting in the weeds.
Yeah.
We like getting in the weeds. You know, it's a podcast, so we can go as long as we want. And we talk to politicians and go really deep into these, you know, longer conversations about what kind of makes them tick. What their views are, but you know what their lives are like. So yeah, please subscribe. It's on Apple Podcasts. And one of the best ways to see it is on our website. You know, Alabama Day or aldailynews.com. Yeah, please subscribe. I'd appreciate your thoughts and reviews.
Very good, man. We'll talk very soon.
All right, thanks, Sean. Be good.
I'm coming right back. Wrap it up here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 153 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Looks like the rain has lessened some in our area, but there's more to come. It's coming off the Gulf. I mean, it's not of tropical nature. Dr. Bill says, you know, just upper air disturbance, but it is a big soaker. I don't know tomorrow we'll have the rainfall totals, but I can tell you right here in our area of Mobile, from here out through West Mobile, we're at 65 in Airport. Out through, it was just a bunch. Baldwin County still getting some of it, Northwest Florida, and looking back, some showers out in the Gulf and some showers coming through Southeast Louisiana making their way in here over the next few hours. We'll get more from Dr. Bill coming up. And breaking news, this is I'd say this is the first place y'all about to hear something that's not on the air or in print anywhere in the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Governor Kay Ivey, I think it was Friday, let's see, it was just about 2.5 weeks ago that she signed HB 361 into law. That was Friday, May 31st, the Daily Fantasy Sports Bill becoming legal again in Alabama. And I've been checking since then with the two main
like every 5 minutes, she's like, getting no work done.
Yeah, I've been scratching my neck a lot and checking every 5 to 10 minutes to see whether DraftKings and FanDuel were accepting players from Alabama yet. They wouldn't even let me try to open the deposit page on DraftKings. So I knew that they weren't operating yet in Alabama. And as of about 20 minutes ago, it looks like DraftKings and FanDuel now accepting Alabama deposits, just over 2 weeks since the governor signed HB 361 into law.
So other bills that get signed into law take a long time to get put into action in the state of Alabama. Some of them by decree, some of them in the bill will set a date in the future. Even like, for example, the bill about giving the tolling authority, this group, the ability to restrict your driver's license or keep you from getting a car tag, that didn't go into effect till 2024.
Mm-hmm.
There's other gas tax increase, I think it's August or maybe the beginning of the fiscal year at the end of September. FanDuel, DraftKings, 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks and it's on.
I was just talking to my buddy yesterday who lives in Birmingham but travels around the state. He works for a staffing company, so he travels all around Alabama and talks to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he said he has had more discussions about daily fantasy sports being legalized again in Alabama. No telling how much revenue.
And it was never legalized. It wasn't, but it was ruled illegal. It was going on, and then they ruled it illegal, and now it's okay.
Yeah, and part of the stipulation for these companies, if they make more than $10 million in revenue yearly, they have to pay your annual registration fee to the state of $85,000. So I imagine that was part of the hang-up over the last 2 weeks, getting that $85,000 from these two biggest companies to Alabama's coffers. And then from here on out, they'll accept 10.5% tax on all entry fees.
Okay, so wait a second. So every dollar that you Can you call it gamble or wager? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure that Alabama...
You can't get lotto through, but...
I would call it a wager.
Okay, because
you're putting money up against something.
So the state is getting 10 and a half cents
off of every dollar.
Okay. How big is this? I mean, you know, and people who don't... Can you give a quick explanation of what this is?
Yeah,
I mean, this is like... How is this... Yeah, how does it work?
It's almost like sports gambling, but they'll tell you it's not. They'll say it's, you know, fantasy sports. It's a skill game. And unlike where in a traditional sports gambling setup, you would pick one team against the other. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get points one side or the other, and your team has to lose by less than so many points.
Right.
In daily fantasy sports, you compose your own team of individual players within one sport. So you've got no telling how many baseball games set up for today. You could pick, you'd set a starting lineup, and you'd pick players from all different games to make the best lineup you can. And if
your all-star team, man.
That's right. And if your players outperform everyone in the pool that you're in, then you can walk out of there with some money put back into your DraftKings or FanDuel account.
So you risk money and you get and you win money.
Sure, sounds a lot like gambling.
Yeah, it does to me too. But this is legal now in Alabama. And how much money are you just? You got a good sense of this. How much money are we talking about? You mentioned a $10 million number.
Well, the guys that are really, really good, or at least think they're really good, put a lot of entries out there every single day. There's guys that could put, you know, upwards of $10,000 in one day.
And what? One person.
One person, upwards of $10,000, and there's some that do more. But $10,000 of entry fees each day, and if the state is getting a return of 10.5% on that, well, their numbers, they say they'll generate about $4 million in annual revenue. They're certainly going to bring a lot of money in from Alabama.
All right, so people are into this. Being Alabama residents, they can log in and charge themselves a stupid tax. I mean, compete in this game, right?
Yep, starting today.
All right, there you go. Sucker born every minute. I mean, good. It's good. Good that this is happening.
I think you're looking at a sucker right now.
Right. We'll get on your plays here. We'll do it again tomorrow morning, bright and early, for Mobile Mornings. More on that on Dalton's Twitter feed, which is
@DaltonNorwig.
All right. Y'all check it out. Feinbaum next.